Next item on the agenda, request to extend the public oyster harvest season in the James River Seed area.
Afternoon again.
Afternoon, Doctor.
The handling season in James River is due to expire on April 30th. And we have a chapter in that regulation that allows the commissioner to, when it's determined, when somebody requests an extension of the James River, that if staff recommends that it's okay, everything looks all right, that he can do that administratively. We put a notice up, and it's just done, and we add a couple of extra months. Things are a little bit different this year. The James River is a very unique river in the way we manage it. It's the only place that we have a season that starts October 1st, goes to April 30th. So it's already had a seven-month season. It's hand-tong only. It's the only area that we have this no-bushel limit. And it's the only area, I don't know, anywhere else in the world that where you can harvest both market oysters, clean call oysters, or seed oysters from the same area. We actually, this is the standing stock that Rogers Group and our group follows through the years, and you know we're up in a nice area. Seems like management is working well. Seeing an increase the past several years, real good spats. That's highest spats that we've ever seen this past year in that area. But there've been other things that we can see that make us less inclined to recommend extending this year than we have in the past. If you recall, in the fall, we made a big change in the sanctuary area. This shaded area underneath is a Rex Shoal, old Rex Shoal sanctuary. It's about 7,000 acres. We worked with the committee, came up with this smaller sanctuary, and we were, you know, very happy that we'd come to an agreement on that. We had the season open, and the intent was that you know, we get the area marked better. I mean, we'd always use landmarks on shore and the same pole out in the middle of the river going to different places on the shore for the landmarks of the sanctuary. And we're going to use basically the same one with the smaller sanctuary, but we were going to go ahead and put signs and poles up to mark it better. But we had a terrible time with the Coast Guard and getting contractors to get this sanctuary on the ground and marked. And throughout the entire period, you know, we basically had the hand tongers that working in this area coming into the sanctuary and working that, taking advantage of the situation and working just about the entire period until we had the harvest, finally got the signs up in March. We also had, this is the, by opening up all this area that used to be sanctuary, this green line is the line where on this side, the downriver side is hand scrape, upriver side is hand tong. We'd hoped that this area up here would be a very large and actually something good for the hand tongers to work in, all this area for hand tonging. And we had problems throughout the whole harvest season again with the hand scrape and part of the industry coming across and working into the area that should have been for the hand tongers. What we've seen is that I have the biggest stack of, they're not all entered yet, but I have the biggest stack of our 53 reports that I've ever seen since for the amount of harvest. We don't have the numbers yet, but it's a very significant harvest, and it's from Rex Shoal, 25,000 bushels or more, which is much higher than we've seen in past years. Also had a lot of complaints over the past 2 months about small oysters, which would indicate that the industry is working on down to the point where there's not as many big oysters, more tendency to take small oysters and get them across. We even had complaints from other states on why there's small oysters and the oysters they're getting from the James River. We also have more interest this year in seed oysters. We've We got 10,000 bushels for our program, for the state program that we moved up to Nominee. Had about 25,000 bushels moved recently from some of the planters to the Potomac. And we've had some more in the past week or two coming from Maryland, getting our James River seed orchards and wanting to take them back to Maryland because they don't have any seed for their public grounds, and some of the county committees have decided they want to move James River orchard seed, which I'm not sure is the best choice for them, but they have probably 10,000 bushels have left so far, and the other counties are talking about moving up to 40 to 50,000 bushels of James River orchard seed. So that combination gives us, both Roger and I, pause for concern that we probably should not extend the season this year for either one. You still have the option that administratively it could be extended. You have the option to let it run out, or you could even decide to do only markets or only seed. If you did that, it would be some sort of an emergency regulation because it would be different from what we normally do. But at this point, we do have concerns, and we would recommend not allowing this season to go beyond April 30th.
Dr. Mann?
Let me take you back about half an hour to the excellent presentation that Rob gave on the state of the crab fishery. And what you see in there is an accounting exercise where you can go down to the percentage removal. I mean, that is really an extraordinary piece of work. Over the years that we've been doing our assessments, we've got to this point in our assessments, and as you see at the moment, we're somewhere between 750 and 800,000 bushels out there. And we can now do age structure on these things, so we can tell you how many one-year-olds, two-year-olds, three-year-olds there are. And when we sat in this room, I think it was about last July or August, I actually did a forward projection on what I thought would be the upper and lower bounds of what could be harvested out of this river based upon diseases that would happen in this year. I can still do those calculations, but the problem that I have when I look at this request is that because there is no sort of running account as to what's taken out, I really can't tell you how much is left. And that's sort of the problem that I'm left with here. We've had an extraordinarily good season for all of the reasons that Jim has said, and I think that's great. I mean, a lot of the work that's gone on around the wrecked shoal sanctuary in the opening has been very, very profitable for this period of time. What I am unable to do, though, because of the way in which we collect information on what is landed, is look at my projections, which go everywhere conservative to quite liberal, and then compare them to what's been removed and tell you what I think is left, which would allow me to give you the sort of opinion that you'd really like. This is where you are with the crabs. This is not where you are with the oysters. And consequently, given that it's taken us quite a number of years to get to this point of 750, 800,000 bushels, my leaning is to lean on the side of caution and recommend against this. And that's the problem that I have when I sit and do the accounting here. I can't do in this river yet what the crab people can. And until we can get those sorts of running sets of data, we're not going to be able to do this accounting exercise that says how much is left. In those situations, I'm always going to advise you to err on the side of caution.
Questions for Dr. Mann?
Certainly,
Mr.
Sir.
Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Mann, is it simply a lack of catch data?
The lack of current and regular catch data from this fishery has been a problem for all of the 26 years that I've been here. So this isn't a new issue. And, I mean, how this is done, whether it's done at the individual level, whether it's done at the buyer level, how you estimate this is an ongoing conversation. Jim and I have it. Jack and I have it. There are no easy answers to this. And, I mean, if the waterman... If we were all in the situation where we had this, and this was an open accounting system, everybody could look at it, and this would be an easy exercise for you gentlemen sitting here. We don't have that. And, I mean, it's not easy to do, but that would really make life a whole lot easier for us. And in the absence of a mechanism to do that, we are standing here, me speculating on the size of caution, and someone who argues for this speculating in the other direction. And the point is that nobody can give you a hard number in the middle. because that catch data won't be available for a long period of time. Consequently, I can be argued against in terms of, well, you don't have the numbers. I don't have the numbers. I can tell you what my forward estimates were, but until I know what the catch number is, we can't compare them. Rob, in showing where the crab work has gone in terms of setting an estimate there in the middle 40 percentages, that was finally calculated for a reason. We can do those sorts of calculations for oysters, but unless you have all the information, in the end, you're left with me saying, I don't have the information to argue against it or for it. But in the absence of that, I must urge caution. Because if you look at what we've done collectively over the years, we've actually gotten ourselves from the point where we used to be getting enthusiastic about 500,000 bushels out there. We're now at 750,000, 800,000. And I think that that speaks to the fact that all of us, not just those who sit on the academic side, but the shellfish people as well in terms of your advisory committee, worked to get us to that point. Caution is where we should be.
Further questions? Thank you, Roger.
You're welcome.
Sure. Anything else to come before the commission? Can't
you speak on this issue?
I'm sorry?
You and I speak on this issue?
Oh, sure.
Kent Carr, commercial waterman, fourth generation of the, in the business. I sort of agree with Mr. Mann on some of the things, but a lot of the things I disagree with on statistics back in the past, which I presented to the board some time ago on statistics that I've had back from generations. Back in the 20s, every one of the oysters died, and we came in the same situation. The next year is all the oysters you can raise. I think that's a Mother Nature situation. And I feel that with the way it is now, it's looking good, and it should be open for a couple months. All right. I have petitions here from the watermen. It's over 120 petitions signed from different ones that are working down there that would like to keep this open right now. The marking of the sanctuary just happened this summer, and I'm glad it's finally gotten done because we bickered over that for years, and we had a trouble with people going over the lines like I was saying earlier. But since it's been marked, I don't think you've seen anybody over the lines because they know it's marked clearly now. Earlier this year, my motor went in October. I didn't get to work the best of the season, but you had direct shoals management area here. This area here is real deep water. It's actually too deep for shaft haulers to work. And the dredgers went in there working this year. I didn't go in there. I knew better. But wanted to. Boat was broke down. Probably would have gone in there, but that's up to it. Some of the MPOs were telling us that could work it because it's not stuck up. It's not properly managed. You talk to another one, he says, you can't go in there. Half of them didn't know if you could go in there, if you couldn't go in there. Dr. Weston had many calls from many watermen about the situation. He'd tell you one thing. You talk to BMRC, you get a different story. I think, looking back on that, it was a lot of miscommunication from both sides, the watermen and BMRC. The problem's basically been fixed, and, you know, I don't think you should have any trouble with that anymore because of the MPOs and the way it's marked up. All right, now down on the seed issue, the seed is looking good. We've had the best strikes the last couple of years, and there's plenty of seed left from Deepwater Light clear to Day's Point. I've worked both places and planted on my grounds sampling. And we've got Ronnie Bevins buying down there, and you got a guy on a deck boat, Mr. Gardall, which are buying for the oyster replenishment program for for Maryland, which is going on the Maryland side, not in Potomac fisheries, on up in the rivers. What I understand that Mr. Bevins is buying for the same people and planting in the same rivers as this guy. They want about probably 40, 50 more thousand bushels. And it's down there. The supply is down there. The coal's down there. And it's an income for the watermen, which we need. And It's also creating jobs, what the president would like to see happen. It's also helping the state unemployment level stay lower because more people are working. You got truck drivers. You got a lot of people that are slinking on down the line from these jobs. And I feel that's another reason that it's a reason y'all should vote to keep it open a couple months. All right, Maryland is taking a gamble, and it's a good gamble that should be done and has been done in the past years, many years of planting seed. A lot of it hasn't done good. Some of it has and some of it hasn't. I think Virginia ought to keep an eye on what they're doing, and if they do good, we should do good for the same for Rappahannock, York River, and Potomac, because they're seed rivers. They're rivers that need to be seeded, that the seed doesn't spat and strike on. And that's what we got to get back to the basics on that for the commercial part. But so much has been focused on agriculture and nothing done on the commercial part. And I feel that issue ought to be taken. All right. Going back to replenishing James River, Corps of Engineers has been down there and gotten shelves and carried to other places. They even carried, they put them in Bobjack. You look what that's done. That's created Toast Steak and Pulse's Bar, which came from Corps shells that was put there. I think it's time that the Corps puts a little bit back in James River. Nothing has been done in that for a long, long time. I highly recommend putting some shells up on Deepwater Light, which is the upper part where salinity is good. It will grow. Then down on Day's Point, which is down further, if you have a rainy year or a dry year, one or the other will have good effect. And both places could actually use some shells, and that would be a little start on replenishing James River, which would give us more product to work with in the years for the market and seeding the other rivers. And the supply and demand right now of seed is best I've seen it in the last 15 years. You got a market back down in James River. That's history. I mean, it's been 10 years since you've seen a market back in James River. I think that's something we need to help support and, you know, get things back into foundation of the natural routine of planting seeds for we can have some success instead of all. But that's basically all I have to say right now. Sort of covered my list. But most of the watermen, we had a good turnout here today of watermen. The hall was full. They got a little bit loud. A lot of them left. But it's a long time for them to sit here. And I feel that dealing with Rogers over the years, that yes, it's certain times the little oysters and all, and the big oysters, but now's the time to let us have a couple more months before we can make a living at. It's been a tough season, and the economy was bad. Fuel prices have been high, and we really need to work. And we appreciate it y'all would extend the season a couple months for us.
The only problem that I'm confronted with, Ken, is I have two independent scientists telling me that it's not the right thing to do. And if I don't listen to them to make good scientific decisions, then there's no reason for me to listen to them. That's the problem that I'm confronted with, or the information that I'm confronted with. So I'm not at this point in a position where I think it'd be the prudent thing to do.
I mean, we've got a product here that could create jobs and supply some people that need to seed oysters. If we get into the situation like happened in the Gulf, you get a tanker or something coming into York oil refinery, or you go back to when 3 weeks after we bought the Bloxham from the Ballot family, Keyphone comes down James River and puts you out of business. I think we need to take advantage of this, and I don't see what harm it will be doing by letting us see and providing these people with the seed. And the commercial watermen had a tough year dredging. It's people that like shaftonging, but in the wintertime, it's cold out there. And some of us can't do it, but you cut the season then, and now cutting it here, it's going to run a lot of us out of the business. It's basically a business that's coming back that, you know, if you cut it short this year, I'm basically going to have to find something else to do because I can't keep bouncing back and forth like a basketball on working 1 month, off the next month, trying to figure out something else to do this month, and then something else because a couple scientists disagree with it. And with the reasons they coming up with, I disagree with that those reasons a whole lot too. You don't even know the count of how many little ones or big ones down there. And then complaining about the little oysters being sold. I don't think, well, it'd be other people speaking that the other buyers have been getting them. And I feel that comes back onto MPOs. I mean, they should be the ones checking for the small oysters. Somebody's not doing their job. And in the same way with watching that management area this year, anytime an officer rides by everybody and doesn't say anything to them and they're working in the management area, that they're going to figure it's okay to work. Then the next day, one comes along and tells you you can't work.
I'll acknowledge there were some problems up there as far as the marking was concerned.
Anyhow.
Mr. Robbins?
I just had a follow-up question. At any given time during the last season, how many buyers have been buying in the James River?
It's actually been, you got Ballot Fish and Oyster. You got Mr. Burton buying for Ronnie Bevins and Lake Coward and Shores and Ruitt. You got Melzer in Deep Creek. He's been buying for Kellum and Bevins. It's been, I'd say, five or six buyers down there. And now the seed market has picked up, and once we've gotten a boat, he's come down twice and wanted to keep buying. And now we're going to say the season's closing. And that man asked me particularly to ask for him, and he's gone to all this time to get the contracts with the Tronwick River replenishing the...
Who asked? Mr. Bevins?
No, Mr. Goodall with the boat Papa Francis that's buying down there. And he just got the contract with Felton Abel from Maryland. And as soon as that contract finishes up, like Jim was saying, it's other rivers that want to be planted too. And it's not hurting the river to take the seed out of it. I mean, because the seeds, that's what
Jim, what's the position, or one of y'all, as far as the seed's concerned? I mean, I've heard now two different things as far as the availability or the necessity to have seed. Are people buying the seed?
They have been buying, and that's one of our concerns, is that they do want this 40 to 50,000 bushels more between now and the end of June to go to Maryland. Maryland has made the decision at their DNR to stop moving seed, to stop planting shells for seed, so they don't have any seed. And so they've just turned this money over to the count. They work with their counties, county watermen associations, that they can go use it for whatever they want. Shell are not available. They would prefer to have shell. And so since they have money, that they're willing to come and take the James River seed, even though the DNR there has found that the cost benefit of moving their own seed was not good. So it does provide some short-term revenue for the industry here, but then next year is going to be a hard year for us. I mean, we didn't have spat sets 2 or 3 years ago that we would, like we've worked on this year, we've had a very good year. And so we know we're going to have to tighten our belts coming for the fall 2011, shorter seasons. And so it just seems best to protect what we have right now so we're safer in the fall for the industry we have in place.
Mr. Robbins? So
a follow-up question on Dr. West, if I may. I'm trying to think ahead a little bit to next season and wondering if we could be in a different position or better position in terms of the information that we have. And if the pool of buyers in the James River is limited to half a dozen main buyers, would it not be possible to have some sort of reporting from those buyers that are active in the James River so that we have a better sense of what the catch has been, to get back to Dr. Mann's point about
being able to make an informed decision about exactly what's come out of the stock. And again, that's in the absence of a comprehensive real-time catch accounting system. Yeah. I mean, is it not possible to have or explore at least some options for dealers providing cumulative purchases on a weekly basis or some other basis so that you have an accounting of the catch?
I mean, we certainly could explore that for some more reason.
Why can't we do that now? Because half a dozen dealers, I mean, I know if I ask Tommy Kellum on any particular day, what he's had out of the Rappahannock, he used to tell me within 1,000 bushels, just off the top of his head, because those guys are in the factories every day, they know what's going on. And it seems to me that what we have here is a debate about accounting. I appreciate where British Gentleman's coming from. We've agreed and disagreed for the last 20 years, and we'll probably do so for the next 20 years. The issue here, and I understand where he's coming from, is if we can do the accounting, I'll go back to the numbers that I started with last August, and we can look at those and debate those. Then we can have an audit debate about whether or not, if you open it for 2 weeks, a month, or whatever, if we're looking at whether we think there's another 5,000, 10,000, 50,000 bushels out there, and then we can actually have an informed discussion. But at the moment, the problem that you have, with all due respect, I mean, this gentleman has a point about making jobs. You know, that's not like...
I understand that.
I don't have any numbers to argue against his position, and I don't have any numbers to support his position. And so at the end of the day, we're going to go out to the and we'll shake hands, and we'll probably disagree again. And you know what? This is sort of getting to be a little dissatisfying after 20 years of doing it. If we can, from these half a dozen or so major buyers, get them to give us an estimate within 1,000 bushels, then I think we can have a really useful discussion about this. But at the moment, we're all going to go away from this in a rather dissatisfied manner. And certainly we have the option between now and next season to try to instigate some sort of reporting so that we can do a running tally. But it really doesn't solve the problem for this gentleman. All these have taken a day off to come in here. And it's going to be dissatisfying at the end of it, and I'm sure at the end of it you're going to be as dissatisfied with it as I am. So the question that I would like to pose to all of you in here is, can we at least get a reasoned estimate of what's been taken out so far this year without going back to all of the pieces of paper that are sitting on June's desk and we don't even know if they're all current? Can we ask the major buyers to give us an estimate of what's gone out in terms of markets and what's gone out in terms of seed? Then we can have a good discussion. I don't know if that's practical or practicable, or I don't know if it's even practical during the period of the next week or two. But I'm more than happy to try to do anything within the midst of that conversation to try and find the middle ground in this, because at the end of it, I don't want anybody to go away and say, well, we didn't do the right thing again. And, you know, you're all as irritated as this process is right. So, I mean, if we can do that, if we can get that sort of level of information, then we can have a good discussion. We can have a good discussion with respect to what's been taken out for markets and also where we want to go with seed. Because we know something about how fast seed dies in these places, and it's pretty horrendous. And so we need to look at that in terms of a forward projection, which the state of Maryland or anyone else wants to get into the habit of asking us for 40 or 50,000 bushels a year. Then we're sitting looking at a change in policy here.
Well, all right, here's the deal, Roger. This is where I am. Making a decision.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks, you know, it's the bad guy who loves to sit up here and just be, you know. What if I up and say, take the 40 or 50,000 bushels of seed out of the James River, waters of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and send them to Maryland and we have a collapse? Where in the hell am I then?
My suggestion to you, sir, is that I would not recommend that at all. But the point of the issue here, though, is...
Because that's what I want to know. Y'all...
That one I would not recommend. Maybe I'm just being very territorial, but I think there are good places in Virginia where if you have good seed, you have the potential to use them. I think it comes back into the same accounting mechanism, though, because we can do the accounting on the seed in the same way as we can do the accounting on the market. And that's where I would like to go, so that when we continue to have these discussions, we can look at numbers and debate about where
yes,
we think our comfort zones are.
So without the data, we don't have a way to make a good decision at the present point.
Without the data, what my advice is the same as always. Err on the side of caution. Well, how many times have you heard this?
Okay.
Say,
Can't. I've made my decision. Thank you. Anything else to come before the commission? Meeting adjourned.